ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Design is everywhere. In the objects we touch, the tools we use, the things we forget to notice. Each one shaped by human hands, human need, and human imagination. Each one carrying a quiet story of ingenuity. This is Extraordinary Everyday. I'm Anthony Burke. What does the design of the lawnmower say about post-World War II Australia? From suburban dreams to gender roles, and from backyard pride to rugged ingenuity, the rise of the Victor lawnmower is more than just a tale of cutting grass. Born in Sydney from a makeshift peach tin prototype, it became a symbol of power, masculinity, and adaptation, built to handle the harsh Australian landscape. Today, we're digging into the social, cultural, and technological history behind one of Australia's most iconic machines. Nina Earle is a curator at the Powerhouse Museum, where they have an amazing collection of lawnmower memorabilia and machines. Nina, hi. How are you going?
Hi. Great to be here. Thanks.
Well, let's start at the beginning. You know, what's the oldest lawnmower that you have in the collection of the Powerhouse?
We have a 1902 lawnmower. We have the genuine Philadelphia lawnmower, which was a push lawnmower, and I believe it's the earliest in our collection. Certainly not the earliest mower.
So not a petrol engine, a push mower, one of
those
rotary blade sort of ones. Okay, so that worked by simply, you know, hard sort of like push power.
The harder you push, the faster it goes and the better it cuts your grass.
So when did that sort of idea really land in Australia? Philadelphia lawnmower sounds like it's coming from the United States.
That's a United States model. We do actually see in the 1920s, we have a lawnmower, which is kind of the first commercially produced lawnmower in Australia. That one's called the New Moon, and it's a motorized lawnmower. So it's also one of the earliest examples we have of a motorized lawnmower in the collection. That's only one horsepower, two-stroke engine, which is kind of what you need for a lawnmower. I think the key thing to understand with once you motorize the lawnmower, to get the best cut and to get that sort of ideal lawn finish, you need power. Mm-hmm. The more power you have, the faster your blades will spin and the more able they are to deal with sticks or rocks or twigs and get that nice, even lawn cut.
Was the ambition here to have a particular kind of lawn that was fairly well understood between everybody, or were there sort of variations on that theme?
The thing to understand about pre-World War II is that the lawn at home is really for the elite. Mm. And this has come from a not very long history when you think about the history of people, sort of 1700s, but definitely the 1800s, where the lawn is for leisure. And it's often, it's kind of popularized in Europe and England in the sort of late 1700s, early 1800s as another room to a rich house.
So why do you think Australians took to the lawnmower then at this point? So it's coming into the 1920s. We've got it's for the wealthy.
Yeah, so what you actually have happening in Australia post-World War II is this housing boom, this rise of suburbia. And so around 1952, you're actually seeing a lot more homeowners and a lot of renters in a home that has a garden and lawn.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, what often happens with symbols that are of the elite is when you develop a wealthy middle class, they want to emulate some of the things that position them as the elite or wealthy. And having a well-maintained lawn, that is a real symbol of being, you've made it.
You've made it. So what was the most then significant design evolution of the lawnmower after that, do you think?
I think what made the lawnmower a home icon, like in that same realm as like the Fibro 50s house and the sort of Hills Hoist clothesline, was the rotary mower blades. So we mentioned that push mower.
Yeah.
That's got a cylindrical blade system where you have your cutting blade is fixed at a certain height above the grass. And as this spins on a horizontal axis, it pulls the grass in and cuts it. The rotary blade is like essentially if you turn a helicopter upside down and those blades spin around a vertical axis. So this lets people move over uneven ground more easily, hit kind of rougher things like sticks and twigs, but right up against their sort of lawn edges so they don't have to finish the edges of their lawn. They can mow along walls and fences, and it cuts the time associated with the care of the lawn down significantly.
Well, tell me, what role did Australia play then in this evolution?
Yeah, so as the sort of narrative goes of Victor, you've got this mellow Mervyn Ronaldson, his middle name is Victor. He's watching his son mow lawns and build a lawn mowing business for the people, and he thinks there's got to be a better way to do this. There's got to be a better machine. So he goes into his garage, sees what he has lying around. He has a little Vilroy's engine, so motorbike engine essentially,
yeah.
A peach tin, old peach tin, some bits of scrap metal, aluminium, and he builds a powerful, lightweight rotary motor engine. And now this is key, because if you've ever pushed an old mower around, they're heavy,
right,
and they're stinky. And so his invention is lightweight. And as the story goes, all the neighbours want one.
Right.
Everybody wants one. And so in 1952, I think he builds this prototype. 1953, they start a limited production run. By 1958, he's a multimillionaire effectively.
Wow. And when you say peach tin, I mean, that's not a metaphor. You're talking about an actual peach tin?
Yep, yep. A big kind of aluminium can, that's where he put the petrol in, nice little hole in the top,
yeah,
and fill her up and off you go. And we have that prototype in the Powerhouse collection.
Fantastic. So then the marketing, let's go back to that for a second. We've already talked a little bit about the idea that the lawn was very much a marker of success in the middle class, and the idea of owning a home was really being pushed very hard after the Second World War. So in what other ways did the marketing kind of reinforce the, I guess, the gender roles and the other ideas around the mower?
One of the things that comes up for Victor in this, again, this narrative about the conception of this mowing company, is he wondered why the women were getting all these great new technologies to make their jobs easier in the home, but there was nothing for the man.
Oh, I see. So this is actually balancing the the book somehow.
That's the narrative.
All right. Okay. And do we believe this?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, every good product that is successful, and certainly one of the things about Merv is he was an incredibly successful marketer, has a good story, and there's always grains of truth in that story. But we do know that we have early marketing photographs, and they either feature a man mowing his lawn with the children playing happily in the background, or the wife lounging on the grass, or they feature a woman dressed to the nines with the mower, which I have interpretations on that, or you've got these rough Australian men mowing through scrub, essentially,
right,
outback scrub.
Fine lawns are just too easy with a Victor. Pamper your lawn with the Victor Special.
All right, so from the peach tin prototype, we've got Victor Merv. He's now a multimillionaire. He's been super successful. Where to from there? How did he sort of adapt the technology and sort of bring it to its next step?
I think the interesting thing about Victor is because so much of its foundation myth and this like marketing was around being the man's machine, and you have this perpetuating idea that the motor is power, it's powerful, and it's not until we have a machine from 2007. Earlier on that, most of the innovation and all of the research that Victor was doing, they were looking at the speed of the blades. They built their own custom mower engines, but they were just interested in power, speed, and things really were just small ergonomical changes.
Okay.
So a folding handle, being able to adjust the handle height. So if you're a taller person, it was more comfortable to mow your lawn.
Yeah.
But they didn't innovate beyond being innovative in the first instance, really.
Right, okay. So, all right, so we get to 2007 then, and now suddenly we're being asked to rethink the mower because of its environmental credentials.
That's right.
Wow, so what happened there?
They worked with UTS, and it's actually interesting too, I think, because, you know, up until 2007, Victor is an Australian company. It's run in Australia. All of its research is happening in Australia. They're partnering with University of Technology Sydney to do their research, to do this development. And then 2008, they get sold.
Right. Oh, okay.
So it's actually a little bit of a decline, because what you're seeing competing is other mower brands are starting to explore battery-powered mowers, electrical mowers, and looking at some of this other old technology that was happening that Victor just didn't engage with.
All right. So they kind of, they were a victim of their own success. They thought they were too good to change.
Yeah,
and they didn't.
I mean, that's a story all through the Powerhouse collection in terms of design, where something is so good at what it does, but as social and cultural contexts change, it no longer becomes relevant for the way people want to engage with and use that technology.
Hubris will get you every time.
Every time.
And so now we've got other models and things coming through. So where do we end up around the 2010s? As I'm imagining battery operated and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, battery operated.
Yeah?
And I think the other thing is to remember is what makes a successful lawnmower is power to weight ratio. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't have rotary cutting blades, that sort of downward spinning blade I talked about, until we had an engine that was powerful enough to drive them. And that's sort of why, you know, petrol took over in the motor game, because electricity just couldn't generate the same kind of comparable power with the technology we had. Mm. But now we're getting to this point where our batteries are powering cars. You can buy robot mowers. So,
yeah,
you know, you've got your robo vac for home, get your robo mower for the garden. But again, we're coming back to this issue. If you go and buy a mower today, you will see that you have to make choices. How wide do I want my mower to be? The wider you go, the heavier the mower becomes. The more batteries you put into it, the longer you can mow for. But again, batteries are heavy. So we've got this power to weight ratio conversation. So do you know what they've done?
No.
Self-propelling mowers.
Oh, okay. So the engine is driving the wheels as well as the blades.
Yep. So you give it a little squeal and it's like having a turbocharged car where there's that initial moment and then it just sort of jumps itself forward.
So, all right. So we've got up to date and I'm sort of now curious, very curious about where to from here. How on earth is AI going to change the lawnmower?
Oh, I think we'll have quite a significant change. So I couldn't find much more detail about this, but there's a press clipping from Victor, I think it's around the 60s or 70s, for the Predictor Automatic Accelerator Smart Mower. And essentially, it's just there's a little bar at the front of the mower, and if it hits softer grass, it slows down the engine speed. If it hits more resistance, so thicker grass, maybe some shrubbery or like long grass, then it will up the rev power of the mower. Huh. And so this idea that we have now sensors that are far more sophisticated than this, that could look at what type of, you might be able to input what type of grass have I seeded in my lawn, how much rain have we had recently, it might know when was the last time I mowed the lawn, and it will start to make decisions about the economy of maintenance. We might have, it might say, well, if you put this seed in, then the optimal height for your grass for health will be 3 centimetres versus 2.5, say, for another grass species.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that incorporation of sensors, and certainly one of the things you see on the market at the moment with the sort of upper range of the mower is a screen.
Nina, thank you so much for talking to me this afternoon. That's great. That's a great history and it's so Australian, the way you've told us about it and all the dimensions of bringing the culture, the gender, the marketing and all of that into play. And now we've got this big question mark in front of us. Where to from here? So let's leave that opinion, that one, and we'll come back to that, I think. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nina Earle, curator at the Powerhouse Museum. Discover more episodes on ABC Listen. Simply search for Anthony Burke's By Design and hit follow.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.